Thank you for blessing us. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Praise God. Hallelujah. With this being Mother's Day, where's Ravonna at? Where? She's in the nursery? Okay. No, it's okay. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. There came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaiden slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of Solomon's judgment. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you today for the presence of your Spirit. Lord, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I ask today that you would change lives today through the preaching of your word. Lord, we trust completely in the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit, knowing we can affect no change. We and of ourselves can help no one. But your Holy Spirit is more than sufficient to the task of doing great and mighty and transforming events in hearts and lives today. And that's what I ask you to do. Lord, with this being a day we celebrate motherhood in this nation, I would ask a special blessing upon each and every mother, Lord. The price of a godly woman, your word says, is far above rubies. And Lord, I ask you'll help me to preach this word today in a way that it would be clear and bring glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord, for whatever you do. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A young actress by the name of Frances Octavia Smith was in the early days of Hollywood. And this young actress was a true Christian, if you can believe that, in Hollywood, even in its early days. She longed to have a very large family one day. But through the doctors, they come to find out it would be very difficult for her to bear children and more than likely life-threatening if she ever attempted. She thought her dream would be dead forever. She would never have any children or a big family. Finally, at the age of 35, she met a handsome young actor who was also a believer in Jesus Christ. And they married. He was a widow, having three children from his former marriage. And on their wedding day, she prayed and asked the Lord to help her as she was taking on these three children to become their mother. And God blessed their marriage. They didn't live the Hollywood lifestyle, as it's known today and was even in the early days of Hollywood. But they were, if you can believe it, a true witness for Jesus Christ in that genre, in that world that's out there. As time went on, 2 years passed, and in prayer, they felt that they should attempt to have a child, even though the risk was tremendous. And God blessed her, and she became expectant with a child. Her joy was overwhelming. And the day the child was born, she prayed, her and her husband did, and dedicated that child in the hospital room to the Lord Jesus Christ. But about 2 days later, they come to find out that this child had been born with Down syndrome, which at that point in time, there's little they can do today about it, but even less was known about it in the late 20s and early 30s. And the doctor's advice to them at that time was go ahead and institutionalize the child and get away from it, because that way you won't become too attached to her. It was a little girl. Her name was Robin. And the father looked at that child and he said, "Honey, she's got your ears." And she looked back at her husband and they determined, "We can't let this child go. We'll take it, we'll trust God, and we'll do our best to raise it." Well, if that were not enough bad news about the child being born with Down syndrome, a few days later they come to find that the child had a congenital heart defect also. And they further encouraged this couple to give the child up because they said that she cannot live for very long. And again, the decision was made that they knew God did everything for a reason, that they would keep that child, and that they would, as long as God gave them the ability, they would do all they could to nurture and love that child. Little Robin lived for about 2 years. And what a blessing she was to that entire family. But after 2 years, her little life ended and she went on to go back to heaven. The lady then sat down and wrote a book that's still in print today. It's called Angel Unaware. She said the Lord spoke to her heart to write this book because at the time, Down syndrome was considered such an underground type of malady that little was known about it, and parents were encouraged to just keep the child under wraps, don't bring the child out in public, or even as the doctors recommended to this couple, institutionalize the child. But it was through her book, writing about the short 2 years that they had with this child that had Down syndrome, and what a tremendous blessing this child was, and what love little Robin brought to their family, who by now they had adopted six more children and had nine kids altogether. So she had been blessed with seeing her dream fulfilled of having a large family. But this book she wrote about the family's experiences with little Robin touched millions of lives of other parents who had Down syndrome and was instrumental in bringing Down syndrome out of the closet, so to speak, into the limelight to where it could be dealt with as it should. And largely due to this book, Down syndrome children today are not kept in the closet, are not institutionalized, but are raised in families with love and care as they should be. This lady's name, professional name, was Dale Evans. She was the wife of Roy Rogers, the famed cowboy. And because of her choosing, she would write in her memoirs years later, of their choice to hold on to this child, she said, "Our lives were more blessed by that 2 years with little Robin than we can recall at any other time in our lives." You see, when you make a choice for love, you'll never go wrong. When you choose to love, even that which may be unlovable and that which may cost us to love. That's the essence of the heart of a godly mother. And that she's willing to take upon herself extra things for those she loves. In our story this morning, we read from Scripture. I want to take you back for just a moment to the time when King David ruled Israel. And we all know that the Bible tells us that King David was a man after God's own heart. That's astounding when you think that King David was a murderer and an adulterer. Now, I want that to sink in for just a moment. And God called him a man after his own heart after he had committed murder and adultery. We serve a gracious God. We serve a gracious God. But as a result of the illicit relationship between King David and Bathsheba, those of you who are familiar with the story know that a child was produced out of that relationship. And the child was never given a name. It's just referred to in the Bible as the child of Bathsheba and David. But he died. And King David's heart was broken. But the Lord told him, "I'll give you another son." This is such a beautiful portrayal of God's grace that we see in the story that we're covering today from the Scripture. And that after King David and Bathsheba had committed adultery, and David himself had committed murder, that cost him the death of his son, God said, "I'll give you another son." And that son was this King Solomon that we read about in the text this morning. Solomon. The day before this story that we read today, beginning in verse 16, the day before, Solomon had just ascended to the throne of Israel. And there was never a time like this. Israel had never known such material blessing and such blessing of God as it did under Solomon's reign. The Bible tells us that he made gold like rocks in the land. That's how wealthy Israel was under Solomon's reign. But there's a reason for that. The day before this story that we read in the text this morning, the Lord appeared to King Solomon in a dream. And he asked King Solomon, who was already born into the aristocracy of Israel and was in effect at this time king, the Lord asked him, "What do you want me to do for you? I'll do anything." Now, I've got to stop here, and we can't just skim over that. God Almighty, who spoke these planets into being, appeared to this man in a dream and said, "I'll do anything for you. Ask me what you want me to do." My Lord, my Lord. That staggers my mind. I mean, I'm glad the Lord has never done that with me, because I'll be honest with you, I couldn't handle it. I'd ask amiss. I know I would. I'd ask amiss. I'd ask for something probably selfish and something that would enrich my life. Now, I'm sorry. Don't look at me like a bunch of doe-eyed calves, okay? I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but Greg Browning's got a long way to go in the sanctification process, okay? But he appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask of me what you will." Now, think of that. And what was Solomon's response to God in this dream? He said, "Lord, I ask that you would give me wisdom that I might rule and judge your people well." Now, that's an unselfish request. That's a humble request. He asked nothing for himself. And the Lord told him. He said, "Because you have asked nothing for yourself, you've not asked for riches. You've not asked for more power. But you've asked for a wise mind to rule my people. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you wisdom like it's never been known before. But along with that, I'll give you the wealth and everything else that goes with it." I'm telling you, when this word says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. It means exactly what it says. There's where the word of faithers miss it. There's where they miss it. Gold is nothing to God. It doesn't impress God. Matter of fact, we're going to walk on it in heaven. The gold and riches of this world does not impress God. What impresses God is a contrite and humble spirit that has his interests at heart, even above the own individuals. And anybody who approaches him from that standpoint, and it can't be faked, you can't fool God. But if it's a pure, humble heart you approach him with, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. And it's nothing for him. If you seek him first, when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What in effect is the word of God telling us there? What is the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. Hence, when we seek Jesus and we place our faith in Jesus and by faith we receive his righteousness, God doesn't mind us having all the other things that this world has to give. He will bless us with everything we have need, and abundantly so. But Solomon had God's people at heart and had God's interests at heart. Even above his own, he was humble. He saw that it would take a brilliant mind to be able to rule the nation of Israel. As God had blessed it, like even no other nation that has ever been blessed since, if you can believe that. Today we think the United States of America, and it is in this modern world, the prime example of prosperity. Well, I'm here to tell you, when I woke up this morning and they was talking a little bit about the stock market on CNN, I don't think gold is like rocks in the United States of America. Amen? But because of this man and his love for God and God's agenda, God said, I'll give you what you ask for. I'll give you wisdom. And all these other things with it, the gold, the power, I'll give it all to you, Solomon. And the very next day, as we pick up our text, I know God engineered this to prove to Solomon that he had, in fact, given him the wisdom that he had requested. These two mothers who are harlots approach the king's throne. This is more than likely, from everything I can study, his first judgment. You see, it was the king's job to judge the difficult cases that came up amongst the people. And this case of these two harlots having the children was King Solomon's first case. And the Bible tells us that in the night, one of the mothers rolled over on her child and crushed it. More than likely, this was due to a drunken stupor and riotous living. Today in the United States of America, it's pitiful. There's little babies born every day with their little bodies screaming for crack because the mother was addicted to crack. And no doubt this was a biblical portrayal of what happens still in the modern United States of America many times. But this one mother, due to riotous living and being in a drunken state, rolls over on her child and crushes it and kills it in the night. I want to tell you something I see in these two women. It's one thing to be a sinner and not care about it. It's another thing altogether to be aware of sin and to be maybe committing sin out of what you feel is necessity and not trust in God. Both these mothers were harlots, earned their livings by prostitution. I believe one did it, she felt, out of absolute necessity. It was the only way she could live. But I believe this woman who crushed her child was living that way because she liked it. She liked the party life, so to speak. And in effect rolls over on her child in the night and crushes it. And it shows you what's in her heart. It's diabolical to think that someone would do something like this. But she slips in at midnight and takes the living child of this other woman she's sharing the house with and places her dead child in that woman's arms. Now, that's diabolical. That's diabolical in any sense of the word. It shows you what's in this one woman's heart. She don't care really about the babies that much. You see, it was considered in Israel, if you were childless, it was considered a curse. So for them now to have children, it was a tremendous blessing. And perhaps a ray of hope was shining maybe in both of their lives. But now, for the one woman who's living riotously, her hope is over. And she's going to do anything she can to get it back, even to the extent of placing this dead baby and stealing the live baby of the woman that's living with her. In the morning when they awake, the word tells us, you know, you can't fool a mama. I'm here to tell you, in hospitals today, they kind of crack me up. And I know in rare instances it does happen, but I believe in 99.9% of cases, you know, in hospitals today, they have all these electronic bands and everything they put on these babies to make sure they don't get mixed up. I'm here to tell you, God's got a system that far exceeds the technology of man. I believe you can literally lay a baby in a mother's arms, and there's such a connection there, that mother will know whether it's her baby or not. In 99.9% of cases, amen, I got a lot of mamas I see nodding their heads this morning like, yeah. So was this case. When this mother awoke in the morning with the child being dead, she looked at it and she knew instantly, this baby's dead, but it's not mine. And no doubt that these two had one more fiasco before getting to King Solomon's court. I wouldn't want to have been in this house when this lady got a clue what this evil woman had done to her. But we don't know how. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us, but in very short proximity of time, being engineered by the Holy Spirit to prove to Solomon that God had fulfilled his promise to him, these ladies get an audience with King Solomon. And they walk in before him and they tell their stories. One woman says, this woman stole my baby and gave me the dead baby. The other woman says, my baby is the live one. It was hers, it was the dead one. Now, man, that would be a tough one to judge, wouldn't it? But the wisdom of God. Let me stop here and preach for a minute. So many times we ask God amiss for things that we think are going to make us happy. We want a new home, a new car, more money, a bigger job, a better promotion. Let me help us all, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am anybody else. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom to know how to operate in Him and to run your life. And the Bible promises in the book of James, this is a promise from God, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who upbraideth not. In other words, God's going to give you all you ask Him for, if you'll just take time to ask Him for the right things. And James went on to say, you have not because you ask not, because when you ask amiss. Ask for that which is good. And I know God will give it to you. A long time ago, I'm not a very sharp guy. But a long time ago when I went in the ministry, and I still do it today, I asked God the first thing, and this was due in large part to the influence of Brother Swaggart on my life, when I saw his tremendous knowledge of this word and what a master he was at preaching this word. I said, God, give me wisdom and give me insight into your word. That's what I want more than anything else from you that I could ask you for, is I want to know and understand the word of God. I want revelation into your word because this is truth. This is life. This is power. Blessing is in here. Glory is in here. And my Lord, He has not failed me. He has revealed to me. And I believe it's a direct result of that prayer I prayed many years ago. That's why He led me to the message of the cross. Because I asked Him for that wisdom. He'll give it. If you'll ask Him for wisdom in any situation, He will give it to you. He loves you. As an act of His grace, He'll give it to you. You say, well, yeah, but you don't know I've got this wrong or I've got that wrong. Let me tell you, I've got to bring this out. In this story, the day before God appeared to Solomon in the dream, the Bible tells us that He was still allowing the burning of incense in Israel. He was not perfect in every way. That was a horrible thing to do. The Bible says it. But yet God appeared to him in a dream and said, ask me what you will. I'm here to tell you, like the old song Dottie Rambo wrote, He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. He still looks beyond our fault and sees our need. If we're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed, we are righteous, and we are eligible to receive all of His blessings. And thank God it does not depend upon our performance to get God's blessing. If it did, yes, give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. If it depended on our performance to get His blessing, we'd never get nothing. But in Christ, we have all spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now to prove to Solomon that as he sits on the throne of Israel looking down at these two women, what a quandary, what a quagmire to try to untangle. But yet God has given him wisdom. He's asked for the right thing. And I love it. I can see in my mind's eye in the throne room of Solomon. And this day there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of people gathered around the judgment seat, the Bema seat it was called. And these women plead their cases, and you can imagine it was a very emotional event. And Solomon, after hearing them plead their cases, and the one woman who's diabolical is holding the live baby, claiming it to be hers, Solomon says, "Go get me a sword." Man, I bet you could have heard a pin drop in that throne room. What on earth is he calling for? I'm going to tell you something. To the natural mind of man, sometimes the wisdom of God is foolishness. But Solomon said, "Go get me a sword." And I can see as his porters of the king bring in this sword, no doubt laid on a pillow, and present it to him. And I believe he probably picked it up and looked at it and handed it back to one of his chief military men and said, "Cut the live baby in two and let the women have each a half." What good is that? Now, on the surface, that looks like utter maniacalness, doesn't it? But Solomon knew and understood, as God had given him wisdom, the maternal instinct in the heart of a mother. Solomon knew that the real mother was going to flare up and say, "Don't kill the baby." And I can see again in my mind's eye as the military man takes the sword and is walking over to take the baby, the live baby, from this despicable mother's arms who's made up this lie, that this mother willingly hands that baby over to that soldier. And Solomon's watching all this as they get ready to take the baby and cut it in two. And all of a sudden, the real mother stands up and says, "No. No, I've lied. Let her keep it." Now that's love. That's the love of a godly mother, that she was willing to take on the suffering and pain of losing her very own child to see it live. And she cried out and asked, "I've lied. Don't kill the baby. It's hers." And immediately what the wisdom God had given Solomon is proved out. And Solomon said, "There's your mother right there." He knew and understood God had given him the wisdom to understand a true mother's heart who loves her child. And he knew that in no wise would a real mother see her child cut asunder before her very eyes. And she walked out of the palace that day with that baby. I'm here to tell you, I believe with all of my heart, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, that the heart of a godly mother, next to the cross of Christ, is the greatest thing God has given this planet. A heart of a mother who loves her child is the greatest thing that there is on this planet, next to the love of Jesus that was poured out at the cross. That's how powerful the true love of a godly mother is. And I believe with all of my heart that this woman who got her baby back, we're not told any further about her life. But I've got to believe she never went back to a life of prostitution again. I believe she went back and raised that baby under the banner of Jehovah God, praising Him every day and thanking Him for it. And we're not told any more about this baby. But let me take you for just a moment as we begin to close now to Calvary. Y'all probably been sitting there wondering, I know He's going to do it. How is He going to bring the cross in this? Well, I'm going to. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. It's more than likely the time frame between noon and 3 on Calvary's hill when blackness, darkness covered the entire land of Israel. And if you study your Bible, you'll find that it was a blackness that could almost literally be felt. It was an eclipse. And it was so dark that you literally could not see your hand in front of your face. You could only hear things. And then the fourth time that Jesus speaks from the cross. And you've heard me preach this before, but it bears bringing out again. For anyone to speak while they were hanging on the cross was one of the most difficult, painful, unbearable things that they could do while they were hanging on the cross. Because the weight on the nail through their bottom legs and the drooping of the arms would cause the lungs to begin to fill with blood. And to get a breath in excruciating pain, they would have to push up on that bottom nail driven through their legs to draw a breath. So it was excruciating. Jesus spoke 7 times while He was on the cross. And this was the fourth. When the Bible says that He knew all things were fulfilled concerning the price of man's redemption, He spoke to His mother, Mary. And He spoke to John, His disciple. And I'm not sure they could even see Him on the cross, but He spoke and He said, He knew they were in close proximity to Him at the foot of His cross even. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." It was not a derogatory thing for Him to call Jesus to call His mother woman. In the Hebraic world, it would be much like we would say ma'am or miss. He said, "Woman, behold thy son," speaking of John who was next to her. Jesus was worried about His mother while He was on the cross. This is the last worldly event He addresses while He's hanging on the cross, and it's to His mother. It shows you what value God puts on godly mothers. Let me stop and preach here a minute, Mom. Don't compare yourselves to Hollywood starlets who are so messed up they don't know whether they're coming or going. You have the highest calling and the highest privilege there is to be a godly mom. There's nothing higher. There's nothing higher for a woman than to be called a godly, loving mother. And Jesus was concerned about His mom as He hung on the cross. And He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He was saying, "John's going to take care of you. I'm not going to be around to do it." And then He said to the disciple whom He loved, which was John, "Behold thy mother." He was telling him, "John, take care of her." And then the Bible says immediately after that, He knew all things were fulfilled. He spoke the fifth time and said, "I thirst." He knew that His mother was taken care of. That shows you what a premium God puts on motherhood. And that Jesus Himself spoke about motherhood while He hung on the cross. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Mom, don't doubt your importance in the kingdom of God. Don't feel like because you're not flitting around this world, maybe in high-priced cars and planes, that you don't count for very much. Maybe in man's eyes, you don't. But in God's eyes, you are like a queen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And with this being Mother's Day, I'll leave you with this thought. I'd a lot rather be a queen in God's eyes than be a queen in Hollywood's eyes. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, how we thank you for the cross. How we thank you, Lord, for women of God who have placed their faith exclusively in what you've done on that cross. And they're raising their families and they're being wives and mothers under the banner of Christ and Him crucified. There is no higher calling. And Lord, we honor that calling today. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to shower down blessing upon each and every woman here who is going to be a mother. And some are going to be. They're seeking you for children and you're going to give them children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Never forget this, those of you that are praying for children. God controls the womb, not your physician. God controls that womb. Hallelujah. Heather, you got a great chance to say amen here, you and Mark. They told her she couldn't have kids, her and Mark, and she's got two of the most beautiful ones you ever laid eyes on. I got their picture on my refrigerator. Anytime you give me pictures of your kids, any of you, we put them on our refrigerator just like they're our own. And I pray for them as I'm going to get ice cream and Coke. And you can have your kids in no better place as far as your pastor's concerned than on his refrigerator door. And if you give me a picture, I'll put it there and I'll pray for them. I'll look at them and just smile sometimes as I'm standing there eating my ice cream. It's a real spiritual moment. Hallelujah. You've got no higher calling, Mom. In God's eyes, you're a queen. In God's eyes, you're a queen for raising your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Never forget that. Don't compare yourself to the girls of Fifth Avenue and Saks and Macy's walking around skinny as a rail, barely wearing any clothes sometimes, and That's what man esteems as womanhood. That's how man praises a woman. And it's so degrading. And it's so far beneath what God has designed for a woman to be. But you godly mothers, and you that are going to be, never forget, there's no higher calling. There's no higher calling. Praise God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for these godly mothers, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will give them a revelation of how important they are to the kingdom of God just by following you, Lord Jesus. I pray you'll show them the queen that they are in your eyes, Lord Jesus. And Father, just bless them today, Lord, with all blessing. But Lord, first I would ask that you would give them wisdom, godly wisdom, like Solomon asked for, to be able to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Father, I pray for each and every mother today who has lost children. Lord, I know the desire of their hearts as that they have raised these children godly would be to see these children come and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I believe you're going to give that in the name of Jesus right now. By faith, we claim each and every lost child into the kingdom of God. I know that's the heart cry of every mother in this place that has lost children. And Lord, I believe you're going to give it to them. You've promised it in your word that they would have their household. And Lord, I don't know how and I don't know when, but I believe you to bring them into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, give them that gift this Mother's Day. And Lord, we honor them today. We honor them today. And we thank you for godly mothers. There's anyone in the sound of my voice today, I don't know, maybe you're not right with God. As I look out over the crowd, I believe just everyone I see, as far as I know, you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. But just in case there is one who's not right with God and you'd say, I want to be, would you slip up a hand right now? I promise you I won't embarrass you. Are there any at all? Hold your hand up high so I'll see it. I'm not right with God. Jesus is not my Savior. I've not put my faith in Him and what He did for me at the cross. But I want to today. Are there any at all? Are there any at all? Praise God. Then, as you remain reverent, we've got a special little gift we want to give to each and every mom. that's here today, and we want to pray with you. And I believe Ravana, Tara and Austin, you guys come on and prepare to hand out the things that we told you. We want to pray for all you mothers and give you a little gift this morning. And we even have a little something for all you young kids we're going to give you too. Okay, they have the flowers? Or if all you mothers, yeah. If all you mothers just come forward now around. And if you're a lady, all ladies, just come now and let us bless you. Do you need some help? You need some paper over there, Tara? Excuse us while we get the logistics of this worked out. We thought we had it. Who's got the candy? Oh, don't forget to come by and get your box of candy. It would be a shame if you forget your box of candy because we'll have to take it home with us. Austin, give me some of that green. Yeah, remain up here, please. I'm going to take some over to Tara so she can wrap them. Here, just pick those up on the floor there. Y'all need some paper here, Tara. Give them some paper. If you want to wrap it up, excuse us for being logistically inept today. There you go, there, Tara. Give them don't forget the chocolates. It's okay. If you could, I'd be worried about you. Help to him or not. Tara, yeah, would you come over here and help Austin wrap them? You can just take those one over there too, honey.
I see a world that's dying, and it's wounded by the master of
the sea. Along the front here of the altar, would you all just...
Oh, I was searching in the dark.
Well, we got a beautiful bunch of women here, don't we, honey?
Wounded by the...
I'm going to read this scripture, and I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer over these lovely ladies, okay? The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10, "Who can find the virtuous woman? for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor, yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I know some of those works are somewhat out of date, but in all of them, what that points to is a godly mother who loves her family and takes care of her household. And we honor you ladies today, and we appreciate you today. Ravana, would you lead us in prayer over them? Yes, Lord.
Each and every day, Lord, as we try to take care of our family, Lord, Father, just put it upon our hearts, special needs, Lord, that we need to look to. Father, we just trust in you, and we just ask this day, Lord, that you would reach down and speak peace and love. And
yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all so much. You can return to your seats, and we'll just be dismissed. Go out and have a happy Mother's Day. God bless you so much for being in God's house today.